I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Hilvey, your host. Because of the length of today's show, I will only introduce each guest, and you can find more information about them on my website, holistichealthshow.com, and my BBS site at www.bbsradio.com. My first guest, Daniel the Healer, is an intuitive, holistic energy healer and psychic surgeon. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Daniel, and I look forward to hearing about your healing approach. Now first, in your view, what is illness?
Well, illness needs to be juxtaposed to good health, but illness is not the absence, or I should say, health is not the absence of illness. You first need to look at health, which health is kind of a complex thing of being alive, of being empowered and responsible, of being free, living within the parameters of your temperament, and doing what you're passionate about. This is really, it's a lifestyle. Health is not a state, it's a lifestyle. And then illness is when something goes wrong with that lifestyle. If you're disoriented, alienated, if you kind of fall into disorder, or if there's failure within that lifestyle of good health, then illness comes. And we kind of have, you know, we come from the eternal now and attached to this physical being, this body that we have to live here on this physical existence, and illness is kind of a code. It's a feedback mechanism that tells you when something is not working right, and it has messages. When you have a heart attack, for instance, maybe that you have too much sadness, it has messages based on its location and its symptoms. And so that's how I see illness.
I like the lifestyle approach because the majority of illnesses seem to be a result of our lifestyle. And so it's not a matter of giving people a pill. It's a matter of helping them change their lifestyle. Is that not right?
Yeah. I mean, most often, you know, people have a flu. It's just the body saying, hey, you have to rest.
Definitely.
You did too much. You're overtaxed. You're pushing too hard. Rest. And so little flu, little disease, little malaise.
Great. Then, Daniel, what exactly do you mean by intuitive holistic energy healer?
Well, that's what I call myself. But there's a whole complex about it. Intuitive, I'll break it down. Intuitive means that I'm using my intuition. I'm using my unfamiliar senses of perceiving. Unfamiliar senses, we have our familiar senses, five. We have also five unfamiliar senses, which are the perception of light or life, the perception of voice, the perception of movement, the perception of warmth, and not in the sense of temperature, but you know how you say to somebody, oh, this is such a warm person? That's warmth. That's part of the unfamiliar senses, and there's substance. And when you perceive these senses, you have access through those senses into different ranges, into different spectrums. And the spectrum that these senses open up is the ultraviolet, the ultrasound, the magnetics, the infrared, and the electricity. And so using those intuitional senses allows me to perceive on other realms. So that's first, the first term. Holistic, what do I mean with holistic? Well, holistic is that you deal with people on all levels of their existence. We exist on four different levels. We are, of course, we have the physical body, we have the emotional, we have the mental, and we have the spiritual. And the spiritual body includes our energetic field, which holds our auras and our chakras,
mm-hmm.
and holds the essence of who we are. And so if you don't look at a disease on all four different levels, then you're missing the boat. If, like you said earlier, you take a, you know, here, you're ill, take a pill. You're
mm-hmm.
just
mm-hmm.
dealing with the physical, on the physical level. Now, you know, sometimes you go to a holistic chiropractor, and a chiropractor will call himself holistic if he does more than cracking your bones,
mm-hmm.
if he
mm-hmm.
maybe looks at your lifestyle or your diet, but that's still physical.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's really not fully holistic. Holistic is when you include all four elements, the physical, the mental, the emotional, and the energetic.
And not many people use a holistic approach, I've found. Over 8 years of interviewing, I think maybe I've found 10 or 12 people that use a holistic approach. And so a lot of what I have, people have to put the holistic thing together themselves because people just don't seem to use that approach, which to me makes the difference between being healthy or being ill. And
yes, it's going back into this matrix of being alive,
mm-hmm,
being empowered
mm-hmm.
and responsible and you know, thriving on being passionate, creating,
mm-hmm.
being free, and not just free from, but free to. Go ahead and charge into your life.
Mm-hmm. One thing I add, and that is because, again, I believe that it's so important, and that is politics. Politicians make so many decisions that influence our lifestyle or influence our wellness. And I believe in political action to bring about the changes. And you can bring about changes with more people if you can get the politicians to, you know, make laws that are more useful. One of the things currently is the whole Monsanto and the genetically modified foods, which I try to avoid through organic foods, but that's not completely possible either. But I think sometimes it's important that we get involved in some of these political activities to benefit more people.
Yeah, right now, this week, they're going to talk about what is called the Dark Act,
mm-hmm.
which is this law that Monsanto is trying to push through. You're going to be against the law to mention anything. It's going to even overturn the law in Vermont that says that GMO foods have to be labeled.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really an important time to make your call and tell your senator to say no to that.
Right, right. Then, Daniel, you say you heal with your gaze. Can you tell us about this?
Yes, that's really fascinating because I consider it a miracle every time it happens. This is part of a modality called quantum touch. They even have a website, quantumtouch.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned quantum touch maybe 8 or 9 years ago. You basically work with your breath. On the in-breath, you accumulate the energies, and on the out-breath, you move the energies down your arms, and you have your hands on somebody has a pain in their knees, and so you have your hands on the left and the right of the knee, and you move this energy that you've accumulated in your heart, and you push it down your arms through the gates of the hands into the knee, and it helps alleviate the pain in the knee.
Mm.
And then in the advanced quantum touch, we learned how to do that without the hands on. You basically, on your in-breath, you suck in the energies, the universal energies, all the intelligence, the innate intelligence of nature. You suck it in and you bring it into your heart. And on the out-breath, wherever you focus with your gaze, you look at a particular place in the body, you push this energy into that place that is. You know, I do kinesiology.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to a chiropractor and he pumps your arm and he holds a particular point on your spine and then he goes vertebrae by vertebrae and then he gets the one that's dislocated and instead of being strong, you're weak. That's called kinesiology. Well, I learned how to surrogate. That means I'm not using their arm to pump. I use my own fingers to see whether it's strong or weak. And mm-hmm. so I know, for instance, if I look at somebody's spine, I know exactly by just going vertebrae by vertebrae which one is dislocated. And then I use this technique of accumulating the energy in my heart and focusing in mentally and with my eyes on that area, and then pushing the energy in, and that's the miracle, the vertebrae goes back into place. So I do skeletal adjustments, do them all over the world, over Skype or some other computer video connection, and I have phenomenal results of lining people up, bringing them back into wholeness, or if they have an organ that's not doing well, pumping this heart love energy into the organ. And I don't really know, that's the miracle part. I don't really know what happens on my client side. I know what I do, but how does it work over there? Well, the best that I've figured out so far is that when you pump that light and love energy into a particular place, the cells in the body who kind of, because part of illness is that your individual cells kind of forget what they need to do, your cells say, oh, yeah, that's the program. And then they get back on board, they get back into the program, and they do what they're supposed to do, and through their own intelligence that they have, that just kind of was sidetracked, and then my clients get better.
And how successful has this been, Daniel?
Well, I find that I'm not for everybody, but I'd say I have about a 50% success rate of putting people back together skeletally. I probably have a 60 or 70% success rate with some of my emotional techniques. Also do something which is called a life essence reading, where I look at some criteria in people's energy fields. I have about 50 different criteria, and then I make changes in their energy field, and I also would say my success rate is about 75% there.
Great. Good. That's very good, I think. Then you also are a psychic surgeon. Can you tell us about this?
Yes. Now, there's, you know, the psychic surgery has been around for a while. A very famous psychic surgeon is John of God.
I've heard of him.
He does, like, extraordinary things. And then there's all the Filipinos, and there's, like, parts that fly around and blood and stuff like that. That's more sleight of hand. The way I define psychic surgery is that I go into your psyche, I go into your energy field, and I change things around in kind of, if somebody betrays you, in a more colloquial way of saying it is they stuck a knife in my back. Well, psychically, I perceive that knife still to be sticking there. You still see the knife if you look with those intuitive senses that I mentioned earlier. You see the knife, and so the knife has to be brought out. So just like a surgeon, except I do it all in my imagination, first I will, because removing a knife is going to be a bloody thing, I give them a psychic blood transfusion. I will use surgical tools because it hurts. I will use some sort of a psychic anesthetic, and then I will remove the knife, and then I will clean the wound, I will suture the wound, and I will put bandages on, and it all happens on the psychic. But somehow, doing this in my imagination and projecting that to my client makes a difference on their end. It will take care of it. And so I do a lot of particular things that I work with, external sabotage. If you have a curse, or if you have weapons or attachments or cords, and these are all ways for you to be psychically drained and suffering psychically, then I fix you on a psychic level. If your aura is on crooked, if you're not well grounded, if you're not well connected to your life force, then I do psychic surgery. I intervene in your energy field, in your psychic field. I mm-hmm. intervene with my imagination, and that's what I consider to be psychic surgery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Does the illnesses and things, are they in the energy field before they are in the body?
Yes, they are. Like I said earlier, our essence of who we are mm-hmm. is in our energy field. Mm-hmm. You know, really, I think one would have to possibly define energy a little more.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if you look at somebody and say, oh, this is a really very generous person, or it's a very stingy person, well, what is generous or stingy? It's not physical. Yeah, it has a, you know, they may not give you or they may give you money, which is physical, but the impulse, which is being a generous person, it's not in the physical, it's not emotional, it's not mental, it's an energy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so all those attributes that you have, these are all energies, and that's who you are intrinsically. And then, of course, your energy also is expressed through your temperament. You know, if people like to walk around a lot, they should not get a job as an accountant where mm-hmm. you sit at the desk all day long. It's just not part of your temperament. You have to figure out what your temperament is and then include that in your lifestyle. And so we have an energy field that holds all these attributes of who we are, that holds our essence, that also holds our soul and spirit. Our soul is kind of, for an easy way of saying this, who we are as an eternal mm-hmm. self, not just in this lifetime, but throughout lifetimes. And when you're connected to your soul and you have your passions, then that all makes up an energy field.
Mm-hmm. So the energy field that you read when you do the life essence reading, that's the holistic thing also, then it goes into everything. Is that right?
Yes, yes. You see, if we as a society have learned to stuff it.
Mm-hmm.
Anger is not something that we're like easily expressible. And mm-hmm. so if I look at somebody, if I look at their solar plexus, which is a chakra in your energy field, I will see if they have stuffed anger.
Mm-hmm.
I will see if they have things that are haunting them from the past that are unresolved. And then receiving that information through my perception, and I then take them into the emotional aspects of that and help them find peace and forgiveness with their past and healing, and which makes them be happier in their mm-hmm. current life mm-hmm. because they don't drag this old disease or malaise or whatever bad moment, they don't carry that with them any longer, and they're free to be themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you've done something for too long, mm-hmm. if you've held back, for instance, you held back
mm-hmm.
your expression. Maybe you always wanted to do something, but you never felt that you could do it. Well, maybe over time you'll get arthritic hands because you've held back. You weren't free to move forward, or you could get difficulties with your feet or your knees
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
you've held back.
Mm-hmm.
Or you always wanted to kick somebody because you were really upset, but it's socially not acceptable. You may get a bad knee. And so all these things, they kind of go together. They interact with each other. It goes into a little bit into the energetic, then into mm-hmm. the physical, then into the emotional. And now what are they mm-hmm. thinking about it? Oh, and then there's this reason. It goes back into the energetic. Oh, look there, a knife in the back. Oh, mm-hmm. yeah, they've been betrayed. Oh, they're hurting. Oh, they're upset about it. They don't know why. What's mm-hmm. happening? So it all kind of puts this image together, which ultimately helps them regain that sense of good health that mm-hmm. we talked about at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you a personal question. I meditated for about 45 years, and I'd say maybe a couple months ago, I kind of slacked off, and I found that I was getting tired all the time, and I was spending a lot of time going back to bed. And then all of a sudden, about a week ago, I started meditating again, and I'm not tired anymore. Is that psychological, or is there something physiological when you stop meditating that does something to your vibratory rate or your consciousness or something?
It's definitely physiological, because during meditation, you change your brain cycles.
Mm-hmm.
You go from beta into an alpha, and if you're really good, possibly into theta waves.
Mm-hmm.
And in those states, your nervous system, your endocrine system, all
mm-hmm.
your systems
mm-hmm.
can recuperate.
Mm-hmm.
You find who you are in your center. You tune into yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You bring forth the energies of the universe that come through you, and it just contributes to your well-being.
Oh, and this is something...
You also, if depending on what kind of meditation you do,
mm-hmm.
you still your mind. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of our diseases, illnesses, our not feeling well
mm-hmm.
are carried forward with our internal negative mind talk.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you start to meditate, you learn to be... I don't really like the word meditation anymore when I talk to people, even though I like it very much for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because people, oh, I have to meditate? No, that's not really, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I call it mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
But you do create a state where you are mindful of what happens in your mind and where you can stop all the negative that goes on all the time in your brain,
mm-hmm.
in your mind. And so you feel better for the rest of the time.
Mm-hmm. So this is something more than what you get when you sleep. Because isn't there a certain amount of rejuvenation in sleep also?
Yes, there is rejuvenation in sleep. But the sleep rejuvenation is unconscious because you're not conscious,
mm-hmm.
whereas the meditative rejuvenation is conscious,
mm-hmm.
and you can direct it.
Mm-hmm. Great, good. Then, Daniel, is there anything else you want to say before we look at services and books and any products you have?
Well, what I'd like to say is that people need to have a certain lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of stress in our lives. Sometimes I feel that we as a population are all just a cog in the gross national product,
mm-hmm.
that we're running around. We're being influenced by the media, advertising, that we want things that we don't really want. I think that it is important for people to take a breath every once in a while, to even if you have a busy day, maybe twice an hour, that you take 30 seconds to a minute and refocus and reattach and rethink about your purpose, why you're doing things, and what is important in life.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody ever who died says, I wish I would have worked more.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody says, I wish I would have spent more time with the people that I loved. I wish I would have taken more time off for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Why wait until you die to figure this out? Why not to do it whilst you're alive?
Mm-hmm.
That, I think, is really, really important.
Right. And I think most of us are guilty of that. Then, Daniel, can you tell us about services, products, books, anything you want to talk about, and also how the listeners can reach you?
Well, they can. I like to call myself Daniel the Healer,
mm-hmm.
and I have a website called Daniel the Healer, and so everything is there. I offer psychic surgery. I offer alignment. I offer medical intuition, where when people are at a point where they do not where they, you know, went from one specialist to another and nobody really figured it out because mm-hmm. they generally only look on the physical and they don't look at how it connects with other parts of yourself. So I help people with figuring out what's not working well. And though there's one more thing that I specifically like to say is that I pray for people.
Mm-hmm.
I found that the more people I pray for, the more potent my prayer gets.
Mm-hmm.
And so I also find that the more people I pray for, the more my capacity to heal people increases.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have another website called Real Fast Healing, where anybody who wishes to be prayed for can sign up without any further obligations.
Mm-hmm.
And I will pray for them every night. Mm-hmm. Right now I pray for about 600 or 700 people.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray for them every night. And my commitment is that I will pray for anybody who wants me to pray for them for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a very good resource.
If anybody's interested in that, they can go mm-hmm. to realfasthealing.com and sign up for being prayed for.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good resource to have, Daniel, because a lot of people need prayers. And thus far, the only place I've known to have them go, is other than their churches, is the Edgar Cayce Association for Research and Enlightenment. And so it's
right. And there is medical research. This is one of the few areas of the non-physical that they did double-blind experiments.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they have found that those people that get prayed over heal faster and with less pain than the controlled group that didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think as a society at large, it really is good for us all to move somewhat into higher vibration. And
mm-hmm.
that's my contribution to the world.
Mm-hmm. I read last week or the week before that singing in a church choir for an hour a week will also affect the immune system, which I thought was very interesting. It decreases anxiety, but it affects the immune system, which I thought was very interesting. So
Yes, I absolutely understand that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Daniel, do you have a... you gave us the websites, right. But maybe if you repeat them for the people that didn't have their pen out at the time.
Okay. DanielTheHealer.com, all one word. And AlignTheBody.com, that's for those who want skeletal alignment. And for those who want to get prayed for, RealFastHealing.com.
Mm-hmm. And you said
so I have three websites.
Mm-hmm. And
I'm
you
in Los Angeles. I'm in Pacific Time.
Mm-hmm.
And I also live in Encino. And if it's anybody local, I gladly see him at my office.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I work anywhere into the world through a video connection over the computer,
mm-hmm.
and it works just as well as if they're here in person.
Mm-hmm. Great. Good. And you mentioned that the Skype, and that's the video, is through Skype.
Yes, mm-hmm. Skype or Google Plus Hangout or mm-hmm. many others.
Mm-hmm. Great, good. Well, I appreciate this very much, Daniel. It's been very interesting and will, I know, be helpful to people that are looking for answers that they haven't been able to find. I interviewed a physician some time back, but I just got it on my program last week, who he's a chiropractor, but he went for 2 years with his wife before they came up with the diagnosis, and she had Hashimoto thyroiditis, and then they weren't able to treat it properly, and so he went off in a whole different direction and studied and went to school and learned all kinds of things and treated his wife naturally, so that in the end, she got off all medications. It was apparently a matter of balancing the adrenals and the thyroid and all the other systems in the body, and it worked. But I know there's a lot of people that are searching because the medical profession that they go to aren't able to diagnose what's wrong with them and usually just give them a pill and that doesn't do anything. So it's good to have this as another resource for them.
Yeah, I hear you. I understand that very well. I get people like that every day.
Mm-hmm.
Me too. I enjoyed very much speaking with you. I'm very honored to have had this opportunity to let the world know what I'm all about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited and passionate about it. And I have to toot my own horn. I'm pretty good at it too.
Good, good. Well, I hope I never have to call you again for consultation, but, you know, if the need arises, I will be on the phone. So I appreciate
all right.
It again, Dan.
That sounds terrific. You know, I mean, there's certain clients I kind of get attached to, and then mm-hmm. they don't come anymore, and I say, oh, how are they doing? And it's like a two-sided sword. On the one hand, I miss mm-hmm. them, but mm-hmm. on the other hand, it's really good they don't call me back.
Right.
That means, you know, like yesterday, I had a woman, she came back after two and a half years of me not seeing her, and it was just kind of a checkup. Am I still in good condition? And I said, oh, yes, you are. No concern. And how are you doing? Oh, well, you know, I've been doing so well since I've been seeing you.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, good, good. I understand.
Right. Well, thank you again, Daniel. I appreciate it.
Thank you, too, Carl. I wish you all the best and much success with your endeavors.
Thank you, and you too.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. My second guest, Alex Curtin, invented and uses successfully the gyrokinetic method of reducing symptoms of Parkinson's disease. His practice is in Israel. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Mr. Curtin, and I look forward to hearing about gyrokinetics for Parkinson's disease. Then, can you tell us, what is the gyrokinetic method?
The gyrokinetic method, the name gyrokinetic means finding a balanced state between body movements, body rhythms, and body expressions. Actually, whatever we do it through movement, and we have the rhythm and the expressions. This is the way we communicate.
Mm-hmm.
So bringing the awareness to a state where you can balance your body movement, rhythms, and expressions bring you to a good situation, good condition.
Then what can you use the gyrokinetic method for?
Well, actually, in the beginning, the gyrokinetics method was for problems where people had problems expressing themselves, walking, posture, breathing, voice, digestion, when the body was out of balance. So the gyrokinetics method could help many combinations. And with time, I saw that all these different things, as I said, speaking, expressing, walking, posture, slowness, dyskinesia, you know, breathing,
mm-hmm.
voice, they all represented a certain disease. And I started to look at that disease, and I really understood it.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that that disease had a name, a headline, Parkinson's disease.
Mm-hmm.
The more I investigated Parkinson's disease, I saw that Parkinson's disease actually, in most cases, is a chronic disease.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided that I'm going to give up most of the work I did, and I'm going to concentrate in Parkinson's disease.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since, about 30 years have passed without realizing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's what we're doing today.
Mm-hmm.
We're working on Parkinson's disease through gyrokinetics.
Mm-hmm. And Alex, what makes this specific for Parkinson's disease?
Parkinson's disease, actually, when a person is aware, he sees that his body rhythms are chaotic. He doesn't have rhythmic rhythms. he has arrhythmic movements.
Mm-hmm.
And being arrhythmic movements, his body begins to entrain expression-wise, movement-wise, and he becomes arrhythmic. It is called dyskinetic.
Mm-hmm.
And the other part of the movement is when he's frozen, when he's in a state where he can't move, meaning that the basics of Parkinson's disease, movement and behavior-wise, is movement, rhythm, and expression.
Mm-hmm.
And when a person is aware that he can change his habits with time, Parkinson become habits and Parkinson become forms. You know, when you look at a person, you say he's got Parkinson forms.
Mm-hmm.
You even say he has Parkinson behavior patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And if the person is not aware to that, so he becomes more and more professional in behaving.
Mm-hmm.
Through these forms and behavior and patterns. And if you know, I wrote a book which is called Goodbye Parkinson, Hello Life. So if a person is not aware to his body forms and behavior, it means hello Parkinson, goodbye life, mm-hmm. without realizing it.
Mm-hmm.
So when he's aware, he can change his forms, he can change his behavior patterns, and he can start to disconnect from these habits and change into a more gyrokinetic, meaning a balanced state,
mm-hmm.
where he expresses himself differently, where he breathes differently, where he speaks using more phrases,
mm-hmm.
instead of Parkinson forms of speech, which are actually very with tremors and very unclear.
Mm-hmm.
It's more or less an answer mm-hmm. to the question you asked.
Mm-hmm. And Alex, how successful have you been in reducing symptoms and overcoming Parkinson's for your clients?
Well, actually, the clients that take responsibility upon themselves and they say, I'm going to find out where my placebo effect or my natural movement are. I'm going to take responsibility upon myself. I'm not going to go to the medical field and lift my hands and say, doctor, you know where the answer is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go and say, doctor, can you help me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know what my problems are. I know where I'm limited. I know where I am in a frozen or in a dyskinetic state. I need something to balance me.
Mm-hmm.
So when that person takes the responsibility upon himself, we have success.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, most of the people, they give up. They enter a stressful state. They enter a state where they are full of anxiety and depression. And they become and they receive those forms of depression, those forms of stress, and they wear out their balanced state between their dopamine, their GABA, and their serotonin, meaning
mm-hmm.
the dopamine biochemically is a transmitter that is within the nervous system. The GABA gives the rhythm to that transmission, meaning they get out of balance and they speak, they behave while their biochemistry gets out of balance. Meaning, if their psychological state is in anxiety and depression, their biologic state becomes parallel,
mm-hmm.
having an effect on their physiologic state. And this is where the Parkinson gets out of control. And we teach through awareness by using lots of music to show the people that they can be otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
can behave otherwise. They can act otherwise. And when we start to work and I have a stage and I show them that they can go on the stage and they can act differently, they are surprised. They say, wow, I did it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you do it, why do you return to Parkinson habits, to Parkinson forms, while you can act differently? Meaning those people that really take the responsibility to themselves and are aware to the places where they should not be, because they're entering Parkinson behavior puzzle. It's a whole puzzle, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're aware to that, they can change these forms with the help of music, with the help of movement, you know, like dancing,
mm-hmm.
like conducting, like acting, like imitating a singer. And all of a sudden, things happen within their body.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they disconnect from Parkinson's disease habits. And that's where we have very big success.
Mm-hmm. Music, there's been a lot of research on music and its value in healing. And so I'm delighted to hear that you're using that with patients that have Parkinson's.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. Because I'll tell you something very interesting. If we think about what is life, life is equal to movement.
Mm-hmm.
And we have rhythm within that movement, which is information, what kind of movement, according to our heartbeat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if the rhythm and the movement are balanced, then the expression is also balanced.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now look what is music. Music is movement. Music is rhythm. And music is expression.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you have music, you have phrasing.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
phrasing is very important rhythmically, movement-wise, and expression-wise.
Mm-hmm.
So music and the human way of behavior are the same story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we use a lot of music in order to stimulate the rhythm, the expression, the movement, having a good effect on the biochemistry,
mm-hmm.
meaning having an effect on the dopamine, GABA, serotonin relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Alex, what do you do then as far as actual physical training?
Every physical training is good. You know, there are people who go to make yoga. There are people who go mm-hmm. to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
There
mm-hmm.
are people who go to dance classes. There are people who make Tai Chi, Qigong. Everything is good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there is one difference between gyrokinetics, physical training, that gyrokinetics is built for Parkinson's disease.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, we train the people to stop thinking and listen to music
mm-hmm.
and breathe according to the music and give facial expressions according to the music, be it a singer or be it an orchestra. This is one of the exercises. The second exercise is, after you are able to listen and to behave accordingly, you start to imitate the singer. You become an actor.
Mm-hmm.
You become a singer. After that, the next step, you learn how to conduct an orchestra, meaning you learn how to express yourself rhythmically and expression-wise, and you learn how to enter from one phrase to another phrase by being a conductor.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say these three stages, the minute you can do them, you take them into your daily life, step by step, meaning when you speak with a person, you start to move your hands, your expression, and you start to phrase, and all of a sudden you can communicate much better, and not only communicate better, you are clear, while Parkinson people are not clear. It's very hard for them to communicate. It's very hard for them to speak while phrasing.
Mm-hmm.
They speak very shallow, and what happens? They lose their concentration.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing these exercises, they remain concentrated, and they can express themselves, and they forget less.
Mm-hmm.
Next stage, when they know that, we do what is called free dancing. Free dancing in gyrokinetics is not like dancing salsa or tango or any built dance. Free dancing means do all the movements that nature gave you according to the music and let your body translate itself so that your movement inventory becomes much more than what you need in your daily life. You
mm-hmm.
become overqualified.
Mm-hmm.
While doing that, the patients then start to use their movements in their daily life, be it if they go to a show or go to an airport or whatever. Movement-wise, they're qualified. They feel that they can do more than they were limited before, because Parkinson cannot do all these movements. Parkinson cannot express itself. So what they learn to do is to disconnect and do the things that Parkinson cannot do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great. What type of a relationship do patients have with their partners before and after this method of treatment?
That's a very good question, because it's quite tragic. Because in most cases, the Parkinson patient doesn't hear his partner anymore. At the beginning, the partner tries to take responsibility and tells the Parkinson patient or the Parkinson person, behave this way. Why are your eyes frozen? Don't speak with a blurred tone. Move more. You're not expressing yourself. Get up. They always tell them what to do, and the mm-hmm. person stops listening to the partner, mm-hmm. meaning that he can't hear the partner's voice anymore. So he becomes more introverted.
Mm-hmm.
And once he becomes introverted, he or she becomes more apathetic. And they don't want to go out. They don't want to meet with friends. They don't want to go to the theater. They don't want. What happens to the partner? The partner actually, in a sense, becomes more and more stressful and feels that life has become so unbearable that, in a sense, I don't know who becomes more diseased,
mm-hmm.
because they take the responsibility upon themselves and it doesn't go. So I teach the partner how to speak with a Parkinson patient,
mm-hmm.
how to stop being responsible to the disease, how to take life again. And it is now the responsibility of the Parkinsonian to try and to be together with a partner when they go out and try to behave differently and take the responsibility upon himself to make life easier,
mm-hmm.
and not give the partner the responsibility of wearing one's shoes, of putting on the shirt, of giving the water, of helping with food. No. The Parkinson patient becomes addicted to that, and with time, he makes less and less. So what the patient has to do, he has to take the responsibility upon himself.
Mm-hmm.
And from time to time, be in contact with his partner and ask for help, but he can't give the responsibility to his partner. No mm-hmm. way. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
work.
Mm-hmm. I saw that with a friend of mine. He was a physician or an intern when I was at Bellevue back in the 50s, and he called me about 5 years ago, and I hadn't talked with him since the 50s, and he told me he had Parkinson's, but he didn't use the computer, so anytime I heard anything, it was from his wife, so I didn't hear anything very often. And he got so he couldn't talk on the phone. And also, he fell and broke his hip. And then I contacted her maybe 6-8 months ago, and she said he had died. But it reached the point where any communication was through his wife.
Yeah. And this is what happens. Now, what do we do in Parkinson's, in gyrokinetics? We teach the patient to become an actor.
Mm-hmm.
So in the beginning, it seems strange. But then all of a sudden, acting becomes part of his life. So speaking in a phone becomes an act.
Mm-hmm.
So he acts in the phone while using phrases and gets his confidence back. Did you see the difference the way I speak with you now? Did you hear the difference?
No, I wasn't listening for a difference, so I didn't.
I was speaking more phrasing. It was more rhythmic. This is the way we teach them to speak, and they have to speak on the phone. And then they have to act all kinds of situations. It's as if they're in a film. It's as if they're being photographed all the time. And once they learn it, they take the responsibility upon themselves to act life. And then they feel, wow, I did it. I can do it. Until slowly by slowly it becomes automatic. And this is the great success we have. Even medicine-wise, they see that with time they take less and less medication because their pharmacology starts to work much better.
That's great. And then patients, after they have gone through this process, are able to socialize?
If they're able to socialize?
After they go through the process, they're able to...
They have to socialize. It's part of their act. They have to socialize. And in a certain stage, I'm trying to detach them from other Parkinson patients so they start to socialize with people from different fields, meaning many people return to work again. They thought they won't be able to work. No. There are people that return and they work part-time. They give their experiences to other companies or other people. They get more confidence so they can sell themselves better and they go out. They have to do it as exercises. They have to go out. They have to sit in a coffee house and be with people. They have to go all these stages and they act them in the beginning. But then it becomes more and more natural, and yes, they return to a more normal and more happy and a more honorable life.
And how do you obtain your patients? Is it by word of mouth or advertising, or do you get referrals from doctors, or how?
Well, it took me a long time for the doctors to understand that we speak a different language. Patient comes to a doctor, so a doctor is an MD. The first thing he sees, he looks at the five different stages, and he says, well, if you're at stage number one or two or three, this is the kind of medication you'll get, and I suggest that you do some physical training, etc., and let me see you in half a year's time. But usually the doctors used to say, today it's different, in the couple of years it is different, they used to say, I want you to know that Parkinson is a progressive disease and it will become worse and worse. And with time you'll have to take more and more medication. But the person doesn't know that to every synthetic medication there are side effects. So he gets a medication to the medication and to the medication. And all of a sudden, he becomes addicted to medication. Now, what happened with the Parkinson within the years, the doctors saw that through movement and through behavior patterns and through awareness, they kept in a much better situation. So their medication did not augment. In many cases, they even remained with the medication for a long time. So with time, my name became more and more being a professional with Parkinson. And I don't advertise myself. People simply come to me. They know it. And what I do is I tell them which doctor suits them best. Because every person needs a doctor that they can speak with. There are some people that need a tougher doctor. There are some people that need a doctor who understands them and who is more open. And I even teach them how to speak with a doctor so that when they come, they know what to ask for. And they don't come to the doctor lifting their hands. Now there's a very important stage in Parkinson. There is Parkinson and there is Parkinsonism. Parkinsonism means you got the forms of Parkinson. You have started to behave a little like Parkinson, but it's not Parkinson yet. And these are most of the clients that come to me when they're at the beginning of that stage and the clients are not especially elderly people, they are people from the age of 34, 38, 40.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning they're very young people who got symptoms of Parkinson. And I teach them how not to enter into those symptoms. So the doctors know about it already, and my name is well known amongst most of the specialized doctors in the Parkinson field.
Mm-hmm. Great, good. Can you tell us then a little bit about the process? I know that people, I assume, have to come there, and they see you over a period of weeks. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. At the beginning, I diagnose the person when he comes. It's a diagnosis of about 1.5 hours, where I try to see where the Parkinson began, where is the point that actually shows that the Parkinson is there. Everyone has his personal Parkinson.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they have tremors or they have freezing. So once you diagnose the person and you see where his Parkinson really began, for example, most people look at the tremors, most people look at freezing, but all of a sudden you can realize that actually the Parkinson with a certain person has become in his diaphragm, and the way he breathes, the way he speaks, so it's a trigger point. And when we diagnose that, we see that through this trigger point, the rest of the body starts to entrain itself, meaning the body enters a synchron. And if you don't find really where that Parkinson begins, it is very, very hard to get out of it. So after diagnosing, I build a program especially meant for that patient. If it's a beginning program and we want to enter and brainwash the patient, well, usually we start twice a week where we work for an hour. And within this hour, I try to brainwash him. I try to show what he has to do, how he has to behave, and he has to prepare himself for the next 3 days, meaning he's under control within 6 days, he or she, it doesn't matter. And then we see how the person takes responsibility upon himself and how these movements and these habits become automatic. Once they enter his automatic nervous system, meaning that all the systems entrain, we make it once a week, then once in 2 weeks, and then once from time to time whenever he has questions or has to get more information. So it's very personal. But if I say statistically, we work for about 3 months twice a week, and then we work another 3 months once a week. But there are many patients that want to continue working. They say, I would rather come and continue working with you and continue working and earn my money than taking risks. So these people continue working with me. I got people that work with me 8 years, 10 years, 4 years. So it's very personal.
Then, Alex, can you tell us about your book and if you have products?
Well, in the book, the title of the book is Goodbye, Parkinson, Hello, Life. Being aware to Parkinson and saying, I'm not going to be there. And I would like the people to read the book through and through and then to read every day 2 pages. Because within the book, I try to give as much information as possible about Parkinson behavior patterns and how you enter into those patterns. And I try to make it as simple as possible, giving them also scientific information and also holistic information about psychologic state, having its effect on the biologic state and its effect on the physiologic state. And once the person takes the responsibility and enters my program, which I also show exercises within the book, slowly but slowly he starts and he sees better that he can make changes. And once he can sees he can make changes, he refers over and over again in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, the leading doctors are also in the book, meaning you have professors and doctors who are within the field of Parkinson's disease. And they all wrote also their point of view. So the person who reads it sees that it's not only a theory,
mm-hmm.
but it works. The doctors know that it works, and mm-hmm. they wrote it also. So it's all the information, or most of the information he should get is within that book.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that book came out about half a year ago, from January.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote that book more than 15 years.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it was thousands of pages until we really made it to the point and again to the point so that it really will give the answers to most of Parkinson's patients. And I worked together with David Breen. He's from the Jerusalem Post.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy really entered into the Parkinson. He really entered into understanding it so that he could use word by word
mm-hmm.
so that it will be as understandable, or it will be simple to understand, you see. And he really did lots of work.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, I have to say also to Michael Weiss, who is our publisher,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
who really studied it and tried to see how we can do it as professional as possible so that the people will understand it. By the way, Michael Weiss has Parkinson's disease.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And he's
mm-hmm.
using the book. And mm-hmm. He really, I can say that percentage-wise, he reduced the percentage of Parkinson. Let's say if when I met him first, I can say he had around 70% Parkinson without realizing
mm-hmm.
that he could decrease the percentage of Parkinson. And net-wise, not gross-wise, today I can say that he has Parkinson around 20-25%.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So it's
right.
a big difference.
Right, right. Now, do you have a website, Alex?
We have a website. It's also written in the book. You have my website in the book.
But if you'll give it for the listeners?
We have Skype sessions. People write to us, and I have a secretary, and I have a woman who manages the center, Daniela, and they go over what the patients write.
Mm-hmm.
Then they give it to me. I go over them, and then I see whether it's worthwhile having Skype sessions, and I give answers to all kinds of questions they have. And we are planning in the future to build a station where they will be able to ask questions and they will get their answers.
Mm-hmm.
We are planning it now in the near future. But now many patients have Skype sessions with me.
Mm-hmm. Great. Now, do you have a website you can give out?
A website we can give out?
Yes. For the listeners,
yes.
So they know where to look.
It is, I'll give it to you.
Okay.
It's www.parkinson-gk.com.
Great. Good. Well, I appreciate this very much, Alex. It's been interesting, and I know it will be helpful to those that have Parkinson's because it's a horrible disease. Knowing from my friend that had it and my sister's neighbor had it, and it's a disease that, as you say, people just kind of withdraw into themselves. So to know that there are things they can do, that they can continue on with a social life, that is very gives people hope. So I appreciate this very, very much.
Thank you, my friend. And I am very happy to hear such a young voice as yours. You were really rhythmic. It was great.
Thank you.
Okay, my friend. Thank you very much, and all the very best.
And to you too, Alex.
Thank you.
I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. I look forward to seeing you next time. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host.